Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. It's just me and Kyle today, but it's going to be a good episode anyway.
It's our first tandem show of 2026. It's going to be good.
I mean, we kind of have a lot to talk about, but we'll see how long this one goes. But, we're recapping this past Sunday's message by Pastor Barry, where he was giving part two of our 2026 vision. Mm-hmm. And so the three themes that he talked about for this coming year are surrender, service, and shine. I got those right, right?
You did. In good order, too, because surrender is kind of the overarching. It's still a little bit continued from last year, from the retreat. And so that's still not all the way played out. But the other two are more of the newer focuses.
And I think one of the things that Pastor Barry had mentioned about the surrender part is that that's kind of like a lifelong journey of surrender. It's not just like, okay, we're going to focus on surrender now and then, oh, we got it and we're over it. But it's part of our lifelong journey of discipleship is just being more and more surrendered to the Lord.
Yeah, there's like new levels to it. Like, okay, I'm good on this level. Oh, shoot, I didn't know that. Oh, that's even deeper. And so, I think it's always being challenged to not surrender in like a bad, like, oh, you have to keep dying to yourself. But there is elements of like you can only handle so much where you're at. And then you kind of dive into that. And then it's like, oh, now there's an even more depth I couldn't have understood before. But now that I've surrendered this part, oh, there's this new part. So I think that's the journey.
Yeah, and I think as we're talking about this, just the thing that comes to mind is glory to glory. Mm. And so part of it I feel like is as we surrender more and more of ourselves, then we get to experience more of the Lord's glory, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like at some levels we're able to experience a level of glory, and then the more that we surrender, we're giving up more of ourselves, but we're experiencing and giving more space for the Lord and his glory to come in so we can go from glory to glory.
Good job bringing the positive into a challenging topic. No, it's true. Because I think maybe it's just my personality, or I end up going more towards what you're giving up. Mm. But as you're describing that, I'm like, yeah, you're right. But you're giving up and you're creating space for God to come in. So the stuff you're giving up is stuff that's kind of cluttering the God's presence. And so as you deal with that, it's like, oh, wow, now I'm experiencing even deeper connection with him, deeper understanding of his character, who he is. And it's like, oh, yeah, remember, there's the reward part of it. Of like, yeah, it's a sacrifice and it's like a challenge, but there's something that's coming in its place.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing I appreciate about just our journey as a church is that that's been one of the points of emphasis is not just about what you're giving up, but it's what the Lord has for you too, because the Lord wants to replace it with something. It's not just clean the house out.
Yep.
It's clean the house out and then I'm going to put something else in there.
Yep.
And so, yeah, one of the images that Pastor Barry kind of shared with us on Sunday morning was this image of a closet. And it's a place where, we keep all of our deepest, darkest secrets.
Junk.
But how, when we have those closets, they affect us, whether we like to or we're aware of it. When we keep everything in the closet, then it affects us. Mm. And we're not able to allow the Lord's love or the Lord's light to come into those places. And that's part of the surrender process is to allow the Lord to come in and actually speak truth and speak healing into those places so that we can receive wholeness and, really be free. Because sometimes those are the closets that, keep us stuck.
Mm-hmm. Or even like alluding to what he shared with the point on shine, that surrender can help us shine better, because as we surrender those things and kind of clean up our closet, it eliminates some of the barriers that are between us and God, or his light can't shine on us because of these things that are just buried away. But as we deal with them, then it's like, oh, wow, that's not a barrier anymore between me and God. So then I can shine better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that is, it's something that has been or will be an emphasis for 2026 for our church. But I think one of the things that we've been doing at the staff level is that we're trying to kind of live that out too.
Mm.
And so one of the things that we're being more intentional about is, as a staff, taking time to receive ministry and receive prayer, and so that we can clean ourselves out too, so that we can make sure that we're ministering and we're serving from a healthy place as opposed to just serving out of our own flesh.
Yeah, no, Pastor Barry felt that. It's for a while, but he felt at the end of last year, like, oh, this is something we need to do. Partly it's like that going first as staff, we need to go first before we can expect our church family to do it. And partly just for, this is just good health and mm-hmm. something that, yeah, we could all do it on our own, but we probably should make it more structured. Like we all need to do this. So I'm scheduled to have my session next week. So it'll be good. Yeah, it's a little interesting timing-wise. I, you know, Damon knows my story, but yeah, last week was a little challenging for me. But I think it's interesting because it got brought up before my session, and it revealed some things like, oh, there's some things in a closet or that you need to deal with. So I had a real, I won't go into too much detail. I mean, I'm not ashamed to share it. I've shared it at staff meeting. All the staff know them. My wife, I mean, I've shared it with a lot of people, elders, but it's just complicated and a little long. But I'll just say I had a hard week, or hard, it culminated in a hard day, a hard evening with some mental health challenges. Just some, my nervous system was kind of out of whack. I was very depleted and I was struggling. And I finally had to just kind of cry out to the Lord, like, I can't do this the way I'm doing it. What's going on? Like, kind of, I give up. I cry uncle. Like, that's not on me. And I actually had just a regular prayer session a month before, and that was one of the things that got highlighted, is like, I don't like being a burden on people. And so I thought, yeah, okay, I recognize that, and I need to work on it. But I didn't realize, like, how much I was actually living that out and how deeply I had that, let that in, be ingrained. And so that, and let's see. Yeah, that was one of the big ones. And, and then the other one that was highlighted in that prayer session was kind of just grinding it out. Like, I'll grind my way through it and it'll get better, and just kind of put your head down and keep going. And it got to a point where that night I was like, God, I can't keep going. I don't know how to do this. So it's very challenging. And, you know, God gave me some things like, okay, you got to go let your wife know. This happened during the night, before she was even in bed, but woke up in the morning and told her. I had to tell Pastor Barry, like, you got to let him know where you're at. Like, this isn't healthy, but you got to let people like come alongside you and let the staff know some other. And as I let it go, it was like, oh my gosh, that weight, it didn't just instantly disappear, but I could feel it like lighten like immensely. And then I was able to see things a little more clearly Damon and I are both dealing with post-nasal drip with all this weather change. But it was, wow, last week was so life-giving in the sense of how it flipped so quickly of, I'm almost hopeless, I can't do this anymore. And once I let that go and kind of was vulnerable, like, with people. Oh, that was another part from my prayer session, was like, I viewed vulnerability as a weakness. Mm. And I know in my head it's not, but there's times where I let that take root. And so it was funny that was like a month before this happened, but God was kind of giving me signals of, hey, this is what you need to work on. And he got my attention. But it's been a good week since then, and I'm looking forward to actually some more ministry next week. And so I'm in a decent place, but it's revealing, like, there was things kind of clouding my mental, emotional space that I let in. Just have too much space. And some of it was, I like to stay up on the financial things that are happening, geopolitical stuff, because I feel like that helps me understand where things are happening in the world, so I can help guide our church. And definitely let that have too much space. Not that it was bad, but it had too much space. And I have some other health issues I'm dealing with, and because of that, those health issues, I couldn't cope with some of it because I didn't have any spare space. So all in all, it was like it's got me on a journey of more health and wholeness, and it's been eye-opening, but I'm learning a lot, and I'm actually like, I feel like I'm glad this happened because I needed to make some adjustments.
Yeah, I think with the surrender topic, a lot of times we think it's just like, oh, I got to give this up, or I got to sacrifice. And surrender isn't always just about sacrifice. Sometimes it's more about, you know, the health and the wholeness that you receive from surrendering that to the Lord. But, you know, I think that's one of the ways that the enemy tries to get us to not surrender those things. It's just to focus on the sacrifice and what we're giving up and how it's a good thing. Because a lot of the things that you're holding on to, they, like you said, they're not bad things, but they were just taking up too much space and too much weight. And that's what was affecting your health, right?
Yeah, especially the emotional capacity. And then it let fears come in, because I've dealt with fears over my life, like letting fears of the future, fears of the unknown. And I've dealt with them and had pretty good success that the Lord's given me over those things. But this was like another entry point to let it come back in. And again, I'm glad, thankful it didn't go super bad, but it was like, oh, this isn't the path I want to be on. I got to make some adjustments. And it's funny, like, throughout this last year, like, there were signals being sent out too. Like, when Pastor Dean and Carrie came and did something with our leadership group in the summer, one of the things they brought up was like, oh, it's about being with God before doing for God. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but it's about that connection first before you're doing. And I'm like, yeah, I know, that's the right way. And I didn't realize how much I was drifting away from more being and just focusing on the doing. Because the doing part for me is a little easier too. I'm a naturally, like, I can just, let's just get it done and da da da. And so, but because of that, my tanks were getting depleted faster than they were getting replenished, because the doing was still taking stuff out, but I wasn't just being with God. So when Pastor Barry gave us those at the end of the message, he gave us those 4 points to focus on. I'm trying to think of what he described them as. The four things, I don't say tasks, but the,
application
steps. There you go. Application points. I can't think of the word. One of them was
this word's too easy for you to remember. Like,
I'm having a brain fog. But that last one was just, like, when you spend your time with the Lord, just ask him just to bless you. And don't worry about checking the box and doing this and doing that. And not that, like, the whole time I was in that season was, like, unfruitful or unproductive, and I did hear and I did get things from, but it was there was more of an emphasis or more of a focus on the just I got to get it done, because that's it's good for me, and it is, and it's there's a value in that, but it got unweighted from, you know what, just be with the Lord, and then when that happens, you'll be able to do from that place of being with him.
I think one of the cool things that you kind of shared with me earlier was, like, as you were surrendering certain things, it's like the Lord said, yeah, it's okay to have fun. And so it actually surrendering gave you more space to have some fun.
Yes. Yeah. Permission, kind of. Right. And not that I'm not like a killjoy. I never have fun, but sometimes it's hard to give myself permission and it's okay. Right. And not that I'm like a workaholic either, but I think somewhat of my role is there's a lot of headspace of you're thinking about stuff a lot. So you might not be doing, and to me, I did equate a little bit of, oh, I'm not doing as much, so I'm good. I have space, but I wasn't paying attention enough to that. And so, yeah, I'm getting back into golf, which has been fun, and really just, it's great, the group of guys from church that we go and we talk, well, you know, on our 18 holes, we talk about a lot of stuff, and it's just fun. And then we go have lunch after, and it's stuff that I'm more recognizing, like, oh, I need that. It's not just that it's fun and it's an enjoyable. It's like, oh no, this is actually very healthy for me. Then I can turn off certain aspects and have that relationship and still do something that I enjoy, and then be outside too.
Yeah, I think that's, to me, one of the reasons that it's cool is because I think we so much associate surrender with bad, right? Yeah. Like, I got to surrender this so that I have to go work harder. I got to do more. I got to do.
Right.
But I guess in the Lord's economy, it's not always like that. And sometimes it's like, surrender this for me and you'll get more fun, or you'll get to play golf, or, you know, something like that, where it's not what we're expecting.
Yeah. Still within reason, right? Yeah. I wish I could go multiple times a week or every day, or maybe not. My body might not like that, but it's just finding the balance of finding the balance in that, because with connecting with what our emphasis is on shine, it's like, yeah, if I'm not in a good place, I'm not going to shine very well. Like, it's funny, as I kind of confessed to Pastor Barry what was going on, I'm like, I just need to let him know where I'm at. And he goes, yeah, like, the last few times I've kind of interacted with you, I was like, wow, like, you don't seem like you're in that great of a place, right? And not that I was trying, I actually didn't know how low I had gotten. So I was like, I wasn't trying to just pull a mask on and say, oh, no, I'm fine. But I didn't recognize. So there was some lack of awareness there. But in some ways, he could already start to see, like, man, you don't feel like you're in a good place. And so he saw it even in me before I even recognized. And I think I recognize it some, but I thought, oh no, it's not that bad. And so it's good. I think this is going to be, hopefully it's me going before other people in our church, so I can help lead the way. But I think it's going to help for me to be able to shine better, but to be able to understand, like, how to shine better, because it's like, well, you got to be closer to the light, and whether that's like super bad negative things you got to deal with and get out of the way, or it's just there's just lack of balance, and that's not the way God wants us to live.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things that's kind of evident throughout the Bible. I mean, even on the creation story, right? God rested on the seventh day, right? Like, he could have worked all 7 days, or you know, and then even when they came out of Egypt, that was one of the commands, right? Keep the Sabbath, right? Mm-hmm. It's because we do need a day where we're not just constantly being judged by our performance or our how much we're doing or producing, and we're not just always on a go, 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 but there is a time where he's put in us that we need to recharge.
Yeah. So I need to be reminded of Genesis 1 and 2. Go back to the beginning.
But I think we all do, just in the society that we live in. Absolutely. And the culture that we're in. It's just always go, 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 more information, more like bombardment with stuff. And it's sometimes it's like, not that it's bad, but sometimes it just gets to the point where, like you said, it carries too much weight, and then we're not in the space that we need to be in.
Yep. Especially in SoCal with our weather, we can always go, go, go. We don't get like...
No snow days here.
Yeah, and they can just force to slow down. So yeah, it's an interesting start to 2026 so far. But I do think, for me personally, I think it's tied in with what God has in store for our church. And then I think some of it, you know, I'm going to be leading a series on just finances, stewardship in May. And I think this is actually making me face certain things in a way that I probably wouldn't have seen it. So I'm like, oh, I think this is actually going to be helpful. And I feel it's good. I feel like I have to kind of own that topic in a way that I can preach from it. So I think there's going to be some good insights. So hopefully it's going to be a really good series.
Well, you're giving a big teaser, so hope so too.
How about for you? Like, is there any highlights for the... from the 3 points, or anything for you that stands out?
Well, I think one of the parts that stood out to me was when he was talking about we need to be close to the light, and then we receive the light first, and then we're able to give that out. And so the picture that I got when he was talking about that was, when I was growing up, I used to have and this will date me because I don't think anybody that's under probably 40 will know what this is, but I had a glowworm piggy bank.
I don't even remember that.
Okay, so glowworms were like, there was a cartoon, and there were like plushies, and there were some other things.
Okay, that kind of rings a bell.
Which was kind of that was the concept of the glow in the dark, right? Yeah, so you have to put it up to the light and then turn the lights out, and it glows in the dark, right? So that was my piggy bank. I was so happy about it that I got it. And, you know, so every night before I'd go to sleep, I'd put it in the light, and then I'd, you know, put out next to my bed, and I'd turn the lights off. And also, okay, I will admit this too. I was deathly afraid of the gremlins growing up too. And so, like,
that movie wrecked me for a while. I watched that when I was too young.
Yeah, I was too young when I watched that movie. So I was really afraid to turn the lights out. So that also helped me to be able to turn the lights out, knowing that there was, like, my glow worm was there because it was emitting light.
He's your buddy.
So, yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, kind of the concept is the gremlins would come out and they're allergic to light. So in the dark, they'll come and they'll wreak havoc. And so I was deathly afraid of the gremlins coming to my house and to my room to mess with me, right? Well, whatever. But that helped. Okay, so anyway, when he was talking about that, it was like, yeah, I mean, that was a big part of my childhood was seeing the glowworm. And it was also my piggy bank, so that's where I stored all my money too. But just putting it in the light and then turning the lights off and then being able to see it in the darkness, right? And it's like, yeah, that's kind of the picture of us in the world is that we, in order for us to shine in the darkness, we need to be receiving from the light. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when we're able to receive from the light, then that's when we're really going to be able to shine. Otherwise, we're just going to kind of blend in with the dark.
Yeah. And then that, to me, that combining with the serve aspect too, of like when we're out serving, whether it's in church or outside church, both, it's resembling how God designed us to operate too. And so that shines, like he wants us to be other focused and to be servants. And he came as a servant. Like Barry talked about that. Pastor Barry talked about that as well. So yeah, no, I like that. It's a good story.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that was highlighted to me, and kind of, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, was a lot of times when we think of serving in a church context, it's like, what are the things that I could do at church? But serving is a lot more than that too. There is an internal aspect. You know, a lot of stuff needs to get done at church, and we have a strong volunteer corps that gets things done. But you know, serving doesn't just apply to that. It's, you know, what does it look like when we're not at church? Mm-hmm. Do we still carry the servant's heart with the other people that we interact with in our families? Are we still serving in our families? Are we serving outside? Are we, you know? So I do feel like I'm excited about this series because I think it's going to kind of bring light to some of those things too.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to unlock different perspectives and different understandings on aspects of serving. So I'm excited for it too.
Yeah, so I think for me, I'm excited for this year. I do feel like for me personally, I do feel like the surrender aspect of it is, the more that we talk about it, it's like the more I feel like it goes deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, this, you know, I said it at the top, you know, it's a lifelong journey of surrender, but it's like the more, I think one of the cool things about it is the more that we surrender, the more that we see our need to surrender and the more that we receive from the surrender, which kind of gives us more courage to surrender more too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of creating that cycle that's like, it's a good one.
Right. Yeah, I think that's where the enemy does such a good job of trying to get us to not take that first step of surrender, because that's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Think about what you have to give up, and it's, how are people going to think of you or judge you or, well, you know, whatever, all those types of things. It's like, just, you're good where you're at. Just keep it locked up in that closet. It's just tucked away. It's not really affecting anybody. And if he can get us to stay there, then yeah, we don't get into that positive cycle of you give those things away and it creates space, and then God gets to bless you and you get to receive the joy of that. And then it's like, oh wow, I think if I gave up more, I'd get even more of that. So yeah, that's a good way to describe it, that positive cycle.
And I think one of the things is that's been kind of highlighted to me recently. And Kyle kind of alluded to it last week in the podcast. He was like, oh, there's a story that you should share that I didn't get to share last week. And I'm not going to go into too many details this week either. But, there, you know, one of the things that I felt like the Lord asked me to do last week was there was something that he asked me to do that was very specific. And I personally, logically in my mind, was like, I don't think that this is the right time to do that. I don't think that this is the right, I don't want to do that right now. Mm-hmm. But then I felt like the Lord said, like, well, is this about what you want to do or what makes sense to you? Or is this about obedience? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, I mean, we talk about obedience. We're talking about surrender. Like Pastor Barry just gave this sermon about surrendering and the boy that brought his two fish and five loaves, even though in his mind he was probably thinking, like, I'm the one that, you know, did the right thing. I brought my lunch. Nobody else prepared. Everybody else is hungry. And so I felt like the Lord said, like, is this about doing the logical thing or is this about just obeying, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, it's about obeying. So I did what I felt like the Lord asked me to do. So then this week I was kind of reflecting on it and I was reflecting on, and it's interesting because it impacted another area of my life in a way that I wasn't expecting. And it kind of highlighted something else and kind of okay, not to the extent of the journey that you've been on, but kind of highlighted something else that I've been holding on to and that this obedience actually set some freedom from something that was totally kind of unrelated to it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting how this act of obedience actually affected me in a different way than just, okay, I'm obeying in this area. But the Lord recognized that I was holding on to something else and he wanted to set me free from that. And so I was like, oh, that's an interesting thing. Like, that makes me want to trust the Lord more because, you know, he knows me better than even I know myself. And so that act of obedience actually set me free from something totally different. So it's an interesting journey, but it's cool when you see the positive benefits of obedience or surrender too.
Yeah, because there are things that you wouldn't have even recognized or even been aware of. And that I had the same thing. It's like, well, I wouldn't have even known some of this stuff without getting to a certain place. So, yeah, that's cool. Thanks for sharing that.
All right, well, we've covered the three areas. Is there anything else from Pastor Barry's sermon that stood out to you?
I think it was really good. Like even like he described the stuff in his closet, right? Like he was being vulnerable to an extent, and like he even said, "I'll share it more in detail." It wasn't the right time for that, but he shared with us in at our director's meeting, and I thought, you know what? Yeah, we all have our stuff to deal with. Nobody's immune to it. I was just listening to a podcast last week that my wife sent me, but at the end it was about relationships, and then they were talking about even pastors. They're like, don't put pastors on a pedestal. Mm. They're still humans. They're humans. They have their own weaknesses and frailty. That doesn't mean that they have excuses or anything either to not live the way God wants them to, but they have their own struggles and weaknesses. So we do get held to a high standard, but we still are human, right? And the way they were describing it, and the people on the podcast, at least one for sure was a pastor. The other one, they might both, at least they have ministry roles, but I thought it was just like a reassuring to hear that. And then to hear Pastor Barry even be vulnerable up on stage, like, hey, I got my own closets but I'm dealing with it. And God's bringing it up in a way that I hadn't recognized before. And it's like, I want to deal with this. I don't want it to stay the way it is. And so I would just encourage our listeners and our church family to know that us on staff, like, we have our stuff too, and we're not immune to it, but we're also not ignorant to be like, oh, well, we're fine. It's just for everybody else to work on. We know that we have to deal with our stuff as well.
I think one of the things that was highlighted to me about, and I don't know if he shared this in the sermon or if he shared it in one of the other meetings, but is that when we let the Lord into our closet, then it's to break shame. Because I think sometimes that's one of the issues, is like, if we let the Lord see inside our closet, if we let other people see inside our closet, what are they going to think? Is that going to change how they think about me? Yeah. Is it going to bring more shame? Is it going to bring more, you know, like, are they going to look down on me? What's that going to look like? And there's a fear because we don't know, right? But then he said when he let the Lord in his closet, it's like the Lord said, like, was able to express his love and his care for him. And that actually set him free from the shame instead of bringing more shame.
Yeah.
right? And so that, I think that's one of the fears that we all have, right? It's like when we let people into our closet, when we let the Lord into our closet, it's going to bring shame. Mm. But it's actually setting us free from the shame. And so, and that's what the enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want to set us free from the shame. He doesn't want us to be rid of that. Mm-hmm. So he wants us to stay and keep our closet shut because he wants to keep us ashamed of our pasts or the different things that we struggle with. And the way to do that is to keep us in the closet and keep everything, you know, buttoned up so no one else can see. But when we allow people in or allow the Lord in, then that's when we can really see the love of the Lord and we can experience and receive and be set free from that shame.
Yes, and Satan's crafty. Like, and he doesn't care, right? He doesn't care how much it hurts. He actually likes that. But shame is such a lever that he utilizes. And unfortunately, it's something that we allow him to utilize. And so, yeah, breaking that is such a huge, can be such a huge victory. So, yeah, it's good that you brought that up.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times we think, oh, you know, I have to clean myself up first and
be presentable.
Yeah, and then the Lord will accept me, right? Yeah, but yeah. It's like the way for us to really experience, you know, the fullness of the love of the Lord is when it's not dependent upon our performance, right? Mm-hmm. And so when he meets us in some of those deep, dark places, like we experience love in a different way, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Paul talks about, you know, should I sin more so that grace can abound, right? And he's like, no, I shouldn't. But that's really where we can experience the grace of the Lord is when he's with us in our sin, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that was just a cool picture, and the way that the Pastor Barry had described it is like, oh, that's an angle that we don't always look at, right? And why we want to, you know, let other people into our closet or let the Lord into that closet.
Yeah.
It's really to set us free.
Amen. I agree. So, yeah, it's good. I'm excited for where we're going, for what the Lord has put in before us, for what to emphasize for 2026. And I can imagine where it's going to go. I know that's not where the fullness of it. So it'll be good. We'll take one thing at a time. And I'm excited for this coming year.
Yep. I feel like with the Lord, it's always expect the unexpected. So there's all kinds of stuff that we can prepare for, but you know, we have to be open and ready for his plan to change and to shift, and because he knows more than we do and his plan is good.
Well, I mean, it goes back to how we and open his message with it, but the potter, right? Like that video he showed, that's probably like his third time or maybe more in a message. He's used it a number of times, but it's like each time it's like, oh wow, just how much the clay gets shaped, right? And it's like, yeah, that's God doing that in us. And if we're rigid and we resist it, it's like he can't shape us like the way he wants to. And so it was a good to watch that video again.
And if you didn't get a chance to see the video, check it out. Check it out on our YouTube or on the church website, because you'll want to catch up to see what the vision is for this coming year.
Yep.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks to all the listeners out there. We're looking at hopefully having guests coming on, so you're not just going to hear just me and Kyle regularly, but yeah, we're looking to try to get more guests on regularly. And if you're a guest and you have not been on the podcast yet, we would love to have you on. So reach out to Kyle, reach out to myself, send an email to podcast@catalystchristiancommunity.org, and we'd love to have you on. So until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.